Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, September 29th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And welcome to Victory Monday. I hope you all enjoyed your Sunday after the Eagles game. You know, I was walking back from the locker room after the game, walking with my good friend, and hopefully your good friend, hopefully you're reading what he writes, Jimmy Kempski, and I was saying, a regular type day, you know, you probably woke up, a nice 1 o'clock game. It was a little long, the game, but it was over by 4:30. They won the game. You can enjoy the rest of your night. Good Sunday night football games. So just like a business-like win by the Eagles. But as is always the case with the Eagles, it's never simple. And it's never really a game outside of the Super Bowl, I guess, where it doesn't bring any drama. So we got a lot to get into today, as Nick Sirianni spoke after the win, Jalen Hurts spoke after the win, a bunch of players spoke after the win, and one player tweeted something that, well, really stole the attention from the win after the game. So we're going to go get into everything today on this pod. The first half of the pod, we're going to talk about the win, how impressive it was, some things I need to work on, and then if you don't feel like having your Monday in any drama and you don't want to hear about the AJ Brown tweet situation, good news. I'll do it on the second half of the pod. So if you don't want to hear about it, if you just want to focus on the win, I get it. But AJ Brown's tweet after the game, certainly worth talking about, is basically everybody's talking about it, and it will be a topic of discussion this week. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about the win. Let's get you going on your Monday. And first up, as we always do, on the schedule for today, the Eagles, well, they're back in Philadelphia, arrived back from Tampa Bay last night. And today we'll hear from Nick Sirianni around 3:15. I'm sure he will be asked about AJ. He will be asked about why the offense struggled in the second half. And it'll be one of a normal, you know, fun Nick Sirianni press conferences where he gets peppered with questions after a win. So that'll be at 3:15, and if you are unable to listen to it, it will be carried on WIP on the Odyssey app, so you can just turn on the Odyssey app around 3:15. Really, you should have it on all day listening to WIP, because it's going to be a fun one on WIP, but at 3:15, Nick Sirianni will be speaking to the media, and you can hear what he has to say about everything with the win. All right, the injury report. So as normally the case on the Monday injury report, we don't have all the information yet, but we can talk about who is hurt and who to keep an eye on this week. So obviously Lane Johnson left the game with the shoulder injury. Fred Johnson came in. And, you know, I'll have to go back and watch the tape. It seemed like Fred played good. It is interesting when we talk about the offense struggling in the second half as poorly, as bad as they did. I mean, they were missing Tyler Steen and Lane Johnson. So they were missing essentially the entire right side of their offensive line. So Lane leaves with a shoulder injury. It'll certainly be something to monitor throughout the week. We'll see if he practices on Wednesday. I didn't see him in the locker room, so I don't have a locker room update for you. But Tyler Steen did talk in the locker room. He left briefly with a left knee injury. He had a brace on that knee. talked after the game, seemed like he was in good spirit. So my guess is he does play next week against Denver. And then one player who also left and returned, Jalen Carter, he talked after the game, seems like he's fine. He was in some serious pain, and like he's been dealing with this shoulder injury on and off. So you do wonder at what point, like, they're risking him really hurting himself. I'm sure they will make sure that doesn't happen, but watching him roll on the ground in pain at one point it looked like he was trying to go back in, but they wouldn't let him, and then he eventually kind of forced his way in. But he does return to the game. My guess is he does play next week, but I'm going to certainly try to find out more and also like keep an eye out throughout these next few days to see if there's anything, you know, more with that. And then as the edge rushers continue to drop, Oboe Okoronkwo does play in the game, but he leaves with, you guessed it, a tricep injury, which it seems like all the Eagles edges are dealing with right now. So he leaves. He doesn't return. And that'll be something to keep an eye on this week. Aziz Ojulari inactive again. If Oboe Okoronkwo doesn't play next week and they don't add an edge of substance and Aziz still doesn't play next week, then at that point you seriously might as well trade him because he's never going to get on the field. So they do suffer a few injuries in this game that we will monitor throughout the week. Obviously, Adoree Jackson doesn't play. I thought Kelee Ringo played well. I would have to go back and watch the tape, but certainly didn't get beat up and down the field. You know, I thought he had that big fourth down play. So a good first showing this season, I thought, for Kelee Ringo. All right, let's get into the game because the Eagles do win the game. They move to 4-0. And I'll be honest, like, the thing that hit me the most from this game, outside the AJ Brown tweet, but the thing that hit me the most from this game is just this team really does win all the freaking time. And I know maybe it sounds repetitive to say, but I almost think because we're in it, we're not truly realizing what we're witnessing. Here's a few facts for you after this Eagles win that I think like are just... Imagine me saying this to you a year ago. Imagine me saying this to you a year and a half ago when they were collapsing and everyone wanted Nick fired and it was like, what does he do? And then they start 2-2. They get blown out in Tampa. Imagine hearing these stats. So here's a few stats about just the level of winning the Eagles have had. So Philadelphia, and this is according to a bunch of different stats out there. The Eagles won their franchise record tying 10th consecutive game on Sunday. So they've won 10 consecutive games, including the playoffs. It's the longest winning streak in franchise history. And they improved to 4-0 for the eighth time in team history. And the other times they did that, 1954, 1981, 1992, 1993, 2004, 2022, and 2023. So of the eight times they've done it, three of them have been over the last 4 years. And then before that, it was like 20 years in 2004. Before that, it was like 10 years and they did it twice. And then it was so far, long ago, it's like who even cares? But just so they can set a franchise record next week with an 11th consecutive win. Think about that. Think about if after the collapse, I told you they were going to go on a record-setting streak. So 10 straight wins, including the playoffs. This is the Eagles' second 10-game winning streak in the last 12 months. The Eagles have turned in a 20-1 record. 20-1 in the last 21 games. It's the most victories over any 21-game stretch in team history. 20-1. Like when we talk about will we ever see an Eagles team go 17-0 or 16-0? And who knows, maybe they'll do it this year. 20-1. Like I covered teams that didn't win playoff games for 5 or 6 years. I remember when the Eagles winning like 9 games with Carson in a season was viewed as an unbelievable year. And like, remember it was like he had 4,000 yards without anybody catching 500 or whatever. Excuse me, or whatever that stat was. Like, think of the things we used to have to prop up as impressive. Now they're 20-1 in their last 21 games. It's absurd. And I only like highlight this to say, to think that, you know, look, there are things they have to improve on. There are absolutely things they have to improve on. And they have not been an overly impressive 4-0. But man, 20-1, we'll never live through this again. In fact, if we do, it'll probably be with this exact core. Like they could go 20-1 in their next 21. But to go 20-1 is pretty wild. And then on top of that, let's talk about Nick and Jalen. Because I asked them about this, but I want to give you their resumes first. So Nick Sirianni now owns the fourth highest winning percentage by a head coach in NFL history. fourth highest. And the only other guy close to him is John Madden, and that's 1978. So since 1978, no head coach has won more than Nick Sirianni. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has now eclipsed Joe Montana for the fifth best quarterback winning percentage since the 1970 NFL merger. He trails only Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Roger Staubach, and Lamar Jackson. So Nick and Jalen are top five at their respective positions in winning percentage. All time. All time. Like, do I think Jalen's one of the best quarterbacks of all time? No. Do I think Nick is one of the best head coaches of all time? No. I don't think either of them deserve that yet, right? But man, the resume certainly speaks to it. And the reason I bring this up is to say, when I was sitting in that press box in the second half, I never thought they were going to lose. I never thought they were going to lose. I, the entire time, like, was just sitting there thinking, man, like, they're not doing great in the passing game. We'll have to talk about that. Like, the special teams is giving up some plays. We'll have to talk about that. The defense is really kind of giving up those big plays. But it's Jahad Campbell and it's Andrew McCooper. They're rookies. Like, I never once thought they're going to lose. And I think that's telling because I've covered Eagles teams where I would sit there and just wait for it to collapse. I would sit there and be like, yeah, they're definitely going to lose this game. Like, they're definitely going to lose this game. With these Eagles, losing almost isn't even a thought. Like, I remember talking to Landon Dickerson last week in the Players Lounge, and I said to him, you know, you played high-level college football. Like, you played on a team where winning wasn't good enough, where you had to win, but you had to win by a lot, and you had to win to certain expectations. The Eagles have essentially become a college team in the NFL. Winning is not good enough for the Eagles anymore. It's about how they win. It's about how much they win. It's about if all facets of the team perform at the same level, at a high enough level. And if one part doesn't, then that becomes the story. And I'm fine with that. Like, I get it. I do it, right? I'm part of that roller coaster. But I do think on certain times, we got to take a step back and just think about what we're witnessing. Because I've lived through this with you guys. I've lived through the Eagles struggling. I've lived through the Eagles with not winning playoff games. And now you wake up every Monday and they've won. Pretty much every time they have won. So after the game, I asked Nick about the 4-0 start. He's only the third head coach in NFL history to have three 4-0 starts in his first 5 years. So I asked him about it, and here's what he had to say.
Nick, you're one of the only head coaches in NFL history to have three seasons where you started 4-0. What do you attribute to just an ability to start each season off at a high level and then the win today?
Yeah, you know, training camp... you know, I think our guys, we just got a guys that work their butts off. We stress it. We talk about it, how the hard work. That's what we talked about all week is that, you know, the work, the game and the work that you put into the game never lie to you. And we got guys that put the work in. We got coaches that put the work in. Listen, we got a lot, you know, we got a lot to clean up. But to be 4-0, that's good. What we talked about was don't let good get in the way of great. So we got a lot to clean up. We'll enjoy this again. I feel like I broke a record. We'll enjoy this tonight. We'll enjoy this in the locker room. We'll enjoy it on the plane. And then tomorrow's going to be tough for all of us. You know, we'll get the corrections made that we need to make.
Yeah, Nick knows how to get his team ready to go. Like, they don't play their best football in the early part of the year, but they consistently come out and just like sprint to a lead. They sprint to a lead in the NFC. They sprint to a lead in the division. And then from there, it's pretty much about just keeping it up. But they have consistently been able to jump out to good starts. Like, coming into the year, I thought a 2-2 start. I said I would sign up for 2-2. In fact, I even think I think they're more likely to start 1-3 than 3-1. They're 4-0, and they've beaten the Rams, who are likely a playoff team. The Chiefs, who I think will probably make the playoffs. They got a win over the Ravens on Sunday. And the Buccaneers, who I think will be a playoff team, despite the fact they're just not that good. They're 3-1. The division's bad. Like, I think they'll be a playoff team. And then Dallas, week one, not an easy game. CD was healthy. It was the first game with a new head. Like, there were challenging parts to that game. So an impressive 4-0 start in terms of the opponents they've played. So on top of that, I asked Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is now not lost a game that he finished and started in a calendar year. Think about that. Imagine if I would have told you after their blowout loss to the Buccaneers last year, where Jalen was bad, he turned the ball over, he had like five turnovers in the first four games. It was on the back of the collapse. Like, there were serious questions about if Jalen could be the starting quarterback of the team. He's not lost a game that he finished since then. So I asked Jalen about that, and here's what he had to say.
Jalen, it's now been almost a full calendar year since you started and lost the game. I know it's a big picture question, but you think about that run of success. Just what does that stat mean to you?
Yeah, man, it can you can be on top one day and at the bottom the next. You know, so this game is very humbling, and I take that approach in it. And you just gotta be of the notion of getting better, stretching yourself every day, trying to grow every day, having that competitive mentality with things every day. And that's what we have as a team. That's what I have. And I just want to continue to build off of that.
I like the quote, be on top one day and the bottom the next. Like, I do think Jalen does think that. I don't think he's just saying it to, like, not brag. But Jalen, for someone that emphasizes winning, like, let's look at this game. Was Jalen good in the second half? No, Jalen was not good in the second half. I think it'll be like the Rams game where I'll watch a tape tomorrow and, or I guess today. And, you know, the second half, he won't be good. In the first half, he was unbelievable. But for as much as, like, yes, he had an interception drop that could have been picked off that he threw towards AJ. But as much as he wasn't good in the second half, the major difference was Baker threw an interception, Jalen didn't. Like, that was it. If Baker doesn't throw that interception, the Eagles might not win that game. If Jalen throws an interception and the momentum moves even more, they probably win that game. So Jalen, for all of his flaws in the second half, first of all, he was great in the first half and led them to a big lead. Like, he was unbelievable in the first half. I think it's the best he's looked since the Super Bowl, including training camp. He didn't make the backbreaking mistake in the second half. And that's just the thing with Jalen. He does not make the backbreaking mistake. He just does not do it. It almost never happens. And that's how you don't lose a game for a calendar year. It's crazy. I never thought I would cover an Eagles quarterback that wouldn't lose a game for a calendar year. 10 years from now, when we're three different quarterbacks later, and, you know, we're sitting on this pod and going, hey, you know, this rookie is 3-2 now. It's encouraging to see him win three of his first five starts. Like, think about what we're living through right now. So just some unbelievable stats when it comes to winning. Now, that being said, they got some things they got to clean up. So let's talk about some of the struggles in the second half. So Nick Sirianni was asked after the game about, you know, he hasn't had a chance to rewatch the tape, but the 60,000 foot view is actually how Jimmy Kemsky phrased it, of like why he thought the offense wasn't as good in the second half. And the things he pointed out, I think, were very true. So here is Nick on the 60,000 foot view of the second half.
When you've had the second half, obviously the offense didn't get going. And last week was the first half. Is it more that the passing game isn't going, or is it more that the running game?
Yeah, I'll have to look at all that. You know, again, we weren't, you know, coaching playing second half. They got us, right? We didn't play. We had enough of a lead, and we made enough turnovers to hang on to the lead. But, you know, we obviously played good there. Running game, passing game, it was everything. It wasn't just you can't single out one. This is a team game. It's never just, I don't ever think it's just one, because sometimes you're in second and 11 and then that, because of an incomplete pass or a sack or whatever it is. So or a minus run. So it's never just one thing in my mind. We'll look at the tape. I'll have probably better insight for you tomorrow on that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that trifecta. You can't go three and out. They did that a bunch. You can't turn it over. They didn't do that, but they did give up big plays. And they were unable to kill the clock. Like, it's really been a long time since we've seen an Eagles team that's unable to kill the clock. They have been so good at it. It's why they win so many games, is that, like, teams have trouble mounting comebacks on them because the Eagles are able to hold the ball for half the quarter at times on one drive. And they weren't able to do that. You look at the time of possession in the games. In the second half yesterday, and it was like a minute and a half, 2.5 minutes, 58 seconds, 40-something seconds. I think one was even less than 30 seconds. Like, they just struggled to kill clock. So the Buccaneers kept getting opportunities to make plays and go down the field. you know, the big plays. Jahad Campbell gets beat one-on-one. I think that's going to happen. He's a rookie. It's a tough matchup on a running back. It looked like Andrew Mukuba might have been at fault on that Emeka Egbuka play down the sideline, or down the sideline as well. So the rookies made mistakes, and they scored quickly. The Bucs scored quickly, and the Eagles gave the ball back quickly. And that was the recipe for disaster. Like, when Nick talks about not giving up big plays on defense and making them on offense, when you give them up on defense, like, they score quick, obviously. And so when you're behind 20 something points, you're battling the clock as well. And the Eagles didn't make them battle the clock. The Eagles actually made the clock like their friend. So that's how the comeback happened. They went three and out too often, and they gave up quick scores on defense. Now, another reason I think the comeback happened was because this team played a little reckless. And all right, so I'm going to play the Nick audio first. So I asked Nick about the emotion of the team, like the personal fouls, and then also the clip of him yelling back and forth, or I shouldn't say back and forth, the clip of him yelling at Baker Mayfield. And if you haven't seen it, it's on Twitter, but he's essentially looks like he's going like, Baker, Baker. So I asked Nick about that, all in one answer, and here's what he had to say.
Nick, you mentioned that you want the team to play with aggression. Quinn Yan seemed super emotional today, and a lot of your players did. There was another taunting penalty. What do you say to the players about that? And then also, it looks like you were going back and forth with Baker. Can you just talk us through that moment?
Oh, Baker and I, go back to when we practiced against him when we were in Indy, when he was at Cleveland. His quarterback coach, actually, Ryan Lindley, who was there then as his quarterback coach, played for me when I was a quarterback coach. So I got to know Baker. I got a lot of respect for him. I think he's a really competitive dude. Just talking a little bit back and forth right there, because, you know, we know each other. And I get, again, like I said to him, besides our guy, he's one of my favorite guys to watch in the NFL. I said that to him after the game because I got a lot of respect for him. As far as the emotion, it's an emotional game, and I feel like I'm saying the same thing here, but again, we got to play within the rules of the game, and we can't worry about if I think a penalty. Now, maybe I'm arguing on the side of like, hey, that one looked a lot like Coop's and you didn't call it. That's besides the point. We have to play to the rules of our game. So if they're going to call it that close, we got to respect the rules of the game. Now, with that being said, that was our one personal foul. I don't count. We have to clean up our roughing the passers. That's a different type of personal foul in my mind. But we can't have those because it extended a drive that helped them get points, which could have cost us at the end. So, again, all these things that, come through, right? I say to these guys, right, we're 4-0. That's good. But don't let good get in the way of great. We got to clean up some of this stuff, and that's definitely.
So I will say the answer about Baker, I think, makes it a little less worse than it looked live. Like, at the post-game pod, which hopefully you've listened to with me and James, I said I thought it was a really bad look and he can't be doing that. After hearing it, like, maybe it's more of a playful thing than I thought. Like, he knows him. Like, it's a little more excusable. But still, when you see your head coach kind of taunting Baker, fun or not, it does make it more acceptable to do it yourself, right? So, especially when you have a young defense, and they have a young defense. So Nick was then also asked about the young defense and the emotion and kind of harnessing it and not getting the taunting penalties they got, not getting the quarterback roughing penalties that they got that extended drive. So here's Nick talking about that.
Jahad Campbell, what else tell us about his development, what his game today, and how he's developed into this team?
I'm not sure who they credited the fumble to in the Jahad. So that's two turnovers that he created. Pretty good. Obviously he's going to want some plays back that he had. That was a good play that Baker and Irvin had together. Two really good players on that side to create an explosive. But, anytime you're able to turn the ball over twice, that makes a big difference in the game. I think he's just continuing to get better with how he takes on blocks, with how he's tackling, with how he's understanding the defense. Vic's specialty is a coach in inside linebackers. We have a really good inside linebacker coach with Bobby King. Sorry. Work with Bobby Johnson also. He's a really good coach too. But Bobby King. He continues to develop, and Howie did a great job of going and getting him. And, because we were excited.
So you here and there, right? Not sure they can focus on it any more than they already are. The phrase touching the fire and they're getting burned. Like, to me, that says Nick is stressing this and they're not listening. Touching the fire and getting burned, it's like, you know, it's like a kid, right? Like, you don't want them to burn your hand, but to burn their hand. But if they touch a stove and they get burned, then you hope that they'll never do it again. Sometimes it's not with burning, but sometimes the best way to learn a lesson is to deal with the repercussions. And some of the players have dealt with those repercussions. You could argue Jalen Carter did deal with the repercussions, but I wonder if Jalen Carter does not feel he dealt with the repercussions in week one from spitting. And I wonder, while they're stressing it, like, sooner or later, he might have to make an example out of somebody. But what I also really like in there is one of the special things we have is playing with emotion. And I think that's so true. Like, when you play the Eagles defense, they beat you up physically. Cooper DeJean beat you up physically. Zach Bond beat you up. Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, you know, Sidney Brown when he's out there is a hard hitter. Makuba is a hard hitter. You saw Quinyon today. Like, going up against Quinyon seems awful. He talks trash all the time. He's elite. Like, so they have that. And they can't lose it. And I think you could argue you would take like 30 yards of penalty in a game to have a team that has that as opposed to a team that's never getting personal fouls because they don't really show that emotion. But the risk is when you have a team that's emotionally volatile, it can fall apart. And in a big game in the playoffs that's close, 15 yards could be a big deal. And so when Nick is like fun, you know, doing it in a fun way, but like yelling at Baker, I think it sets a bad example. And then the rest of the players follow suit to an extent. So that is a flaw in this team. They are going to have to be better with their emotions. Like, full stop, they have to be better. And is it going to be hard to do? Yes. Is it harder because the NFL is stressing it? Yes. But the world they live in is the world where they have to fix it. And it's now been a full month of like dumb personal fouls and taunting calls. And I'm sure other teams are getting it too, but the Eagles aren't supposed to be other teams. The Eagles are supposed to win the Super Bowl. So, like, the Panthers can deal with it because, like, who cares? The Panthers have all year and probably all next year to deal with it. They're not going to be winning anytime soon. The Eagles need to find a way to fix this. And so moving forward, like, one of their fatal flaws, potentially, although they win all the time, so who cares? But, like, one of their flaws is the emotions, and they're going to have to deal with it. So in Sunday's game, they scored a few touchdowns off of variations of the tush push. Obviously, they ran the fake tush push where they pitched it to Saquon. And then they also ran the two shovel plays where they got the ball to Dallas Goedert. Those weren't off the tush push specifically, but they were the tush push personnel where the team's expecting the tush push and they ran a different kind of play. So I asked Nick about those plays and here's what he had to say.
You guys ran a few different plays off of the tush push today, including the touchdown. How long have you been holding on to those, and who came up with those play designs off the tush push?
Yeah, I won't go into that. Obviously, everything we do is a team effort, but it's an exciting play. Makes it pretty exciting, right? I mean, I saw when we were coming in over here, I'm watching the Ireland game. Is it Ireland? I'm watching the Ireland game, and I see this commercial on Pepsi of going, hey, went in Philly, and they're, I don't know, did you guys see this commercial? And they're sneaking it. Like, people like this play. I don't really know what to say. And then there's some things off of the play that make it really exciting, right? So, yeah, that's my, I'm not going to get into too much more about answering this question, but it seems like people and fans like the play, and it was pretty exciting today to get a touchdown pass off it or touchdown run, two runs that come off of it that, you know, make that play what it is.
You know, I like, you can just hear Nick using these points in a meeting with the league this offseason saying why they should keep the tush push, using it in commercials, like how fun and exciting it is. And when you watch the tush push score touchdowns like that, you realize what an unbelievably unstoppable play it is. And it truly might be the best play in NFL history because it helps them on third down, fourth down, and goal line, and they consistently convert. But once you add an ability to score in a trick way off of it, like because of the nature of the tush push, when they think it's coming, they are all in on like crashing, right? If you add a little bit in their mind of like, hey, this like Saquon might run with it or like a little bit of hesitation, then it's over. Like you'll never stop it. So the tush push took another level of invincibility on Sunday. And I'll be excited to see what they do with it moving forward. All right, finally, Jalen Hurts was asked about the first half versus the second half. In the first half, he was unbelievable. He was like 15 of 16, two touchdowns, 156 yards, a passer rating of 140, just unbelievable in the first half. Then in the second half, he literally didn't complete a pass. I think he was 0 for 8. Like, it was just a disastrous second half. So Jalen was asked about the first half and the second half, and here's what he had to say.
What worked in the first half, especially against the blitz?
Well, it's just about execution. It's just no different than what I've said on a Wednesday talking to you guys. It comes down to execution, and got to execute at a high level and continue to learn as things go on.
Execution. Execution. Like, that is what you hear the players say time and time again about why the offense is struggling. Like, in the first half, I saw all the tweets, like, Kevin Petullo's cooking, like, Kevin Petullo's back. Like, this is what we've wanted to see all year. The only difference with Kevin Petullo in the first half versus the second half, or today versus the last 3 weeks, is the players executed. Like, that's it. Like, Kevin Petullo didn't become a better play caller today, and he wasn't a bad play caller last week. The players just execute. And I say that to say where if you've listened to this pod over the last month, you know I've blamed the players, and I've defended Kevin Petullo. So today, in that first half, like, yeah, Kevin Petullo did a good job, but that was the players executing in the first half, executing those shovel passes, Jalen executing against the blitz, getting rid of the ball quickly, getting the ball to his playmakers. Like, that was the players. And in the second half, that was the players too. Like, it's always the players. It's like where Nick says we stress something, we're talking about the emotion as much as we can. Like, they stress things a lot. It's just a matter of whether the players emphasize, whether the players go out and do it on Sunday. All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about the tweet that's now basically heard around the world. AJ Brown's tweet after the game. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, so the Eagles win the game 31-25. Emotions are relatively high. Get to the locker room, get downstairs, and no AJ. Didn't see AJ. Always love to talk to AJ. I think he's smart, he is interesting, and he's good at talking about the passing offense. So get down there, don't see AJ. But at first, I'm like, I do the pod. Maybe I'm not going to see him. Normally, he comes in a little later sometimes. Or I miss him. And so I was like, hey, did AJ talk? And it was like, nope. AJ did not talk, and AJ is not talking. So AJ Brown did not talk after the game. Now, you might sit there and go, like, why is that a big deal? Well, it's a big deal when a player elects not to talk after a game, especially AJ Brown, who talks all the time. But if he doesn't want to talk, like, I think that in itself is a story, but you can probably get by with it not being a massive story. Then AJ Brown tweets out something that is now, I'm going to guess, going to dominate conversation. Like, Adam Schefter retweeted it. It had like 200,000 views in a matter of minutes. Like, it's a big story. So AJ Brown tweets, it's a quote. I'm not sure where it's from, but it's a quote. And it says, "If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way." End quote. So after that, he tweets out another tweet, and this tweet, a little less cryptic, but this tweet says, "I love y'all with all my heart," and then it has a heart emoji with like a bandage around it. So, all right, AJ Brown in the game finishes with 9 targets. Now, they're not effective targets. He doesn't end up having a lot of yards. He finishes with 9 targets, a team high, and by the way, over twice as much as any other player. Devontae Smith had 2 targets. So 9 targets for 2 catches and 7 yards. He gets a few deep shots, but none of the deep ball shots are really on target, to be honest. So he doesn't really have a chance to do it. So here's my thoughts on all of this. Now, AJ Brown did not speak, so we don't know what he means by this. And in his silence, we're pretty much left to speculate. Had he talked, we could have known what he meant, or we could know how he's feeling. But because he did not speak, we're left to guess. And the issue with that is twofold. One, by doing this, it's now a story. And when he talks on Wednesday, it's going to be a story. Everyone's going to be waiting for him to speak. When Nick talks tomorrow or later today, he's going to be asked about it. When I do the Players Lounge with Jordan Mailata, or the Jordan Mailata show, and then the Players Lounge, they'll probably be asked about it. If you're a player on that team and you just won the game and you're 4-0 and you see a cryptic tweet from AJ Brown, my first thought is, what do they think about that? Like, it is making him a story. Now, you could argue unfairly. Like, you might sit here and go, you know, the media is always trying to make AJ look like the enemy. And look, I think AJ is awesome. Like, I've defended him on this pod. In the past, when people ripped him for reading the book, when people ripped him for wanting, talking about the passing game, like, I've truly always believed AJ's desire for the ball is to make the team better. So if you're a new listener to the pod, first of all, welcome. Like, you should know I've always defended AJ. I think AJ is elite. I think he's a great leader. I think, like, he is everything you could want in a receiver. But the other thing that AJ is smart. He is a smart dude. Like, I talked to him in the lock. Like, he is a smart guy. And when he tweets something like that, he knows what the reaction will be. He knows what the reaction will be. He knows, because he always has to deal with the media and fans thinking he's upset. And he knows that there's always trade speculation around him. So when the team is 4-0 and he tweets that out, like, it creates a narrative around him and a story around him that he's unhappy. That's what the reaction to all online is. That's what the national reaction is going to be. That's why Adam Schefter's retweeting it. So when AJ does this, he creates a problem for himself and a problem for the team. So, like, I've defended AJ, but with this one, you can't really defend it. Like, I don't think AJ is a selfish guy. I truly, truly don't. I think he wants the ball because all great players want the ball. But when you just went 4-0, you got a team high 9 targets, 5 more targets than everybody else, and it's perceived that you're unhappy. That does not come across well. Now, maybe he's not unhappy. Maybe he didn't talk because he didn't think his words would be interpreted correctly. Like, it could be any of these things. But when you don't speak and then you tweet something cryptic, people are going to think you're upset. It's like when he didn't talk for a few weeks in 2023. It was because he was, like, unhappy with how the offense was going, right? Like, AJ knows when he doesn't talk, it's a big story. And so for him not to talk is, like, okay. It's not ideal, but it's, like, okay. Like, Saquon talked. Like, everyone else talked, right? And so for him not to talk, he knows is going to be a little bit of a story. But then the cryptic tweet adds to it. So that's the first thing. Like, just it just comes across like he's making it about himself, whether intentional or not. That's how it comes across. And that's not the AJ that I've covered, right? So I think to do this after a win when you're 4-0 and you got 9 targets and you just had a huge game last week, like I do think there is an element that he knows the passing game was bad in the second half and he knows to only catch 2 of his 9 targets. Like things had to be off track a little. But I thought it was different after the Carolina game. I think like after the Carolina game last year when he said the passing game wasn't good, I think it was about like we got to be better for the Super Bowl. And this is part of that, but it just comes across a level of selfish that I think some of the things you haven't done in the past. And I don't think AJ's a selfish guy. So that's like one of the disappointing things about it. Then there's the second part. Let's go down a hypothetical road, which I don't think is that hypothetical, but let's just go down the road. If AJ isn't happy at 4-0 with 9 targets, I don't know what the Eagles are supposed to do. Like, the passing game is what it is. Jalen is who he is. The coaches and coordinators are who they are. They win all the time. They are 20-1 in their last 21 wins. I started the pod talking about how much they win. If that's not enough, then that's fine. Like if AJ has talked about when he won the Super Bowl, it wasn't maybe at first as fulfilling as he wanted. AJ's talked about how, you know, he wants to be the best, right? And AJ works really hard to be the best. And I think AJ is a good teammate. But if AJ wants to be in an offense where he is going to get the ball a ton and put up big yardage, that might just not be this anymore. That doesn't, like, he's put up big yards and, like, all the, like, he's done it all. So I don't know why he would be upset. But, like, if he's unhappy with 9 targets after a win, I don't know what the Eagles are supposed to do. So, you know, after the game, Nick Sirianni, they released the audio of him talking to the team. And one of his messages amongst a few was he talked about don't let good get in the way of great and like make sure you improve and all that. But the other thing he said was enjoy every second of this. Enjoy every second of this. Like they got to enjoy wins. And it just doesn't seem like AJ's enjoying himself this year. Like he did last week, right? When he got the ball a ton. But outside of that, it just doesn't, he doesn't seem happy to me. Like he doesn't seem like that AJ that I've covered the past few years. And I think there's a frustration about not getting the ball. I think there is a frustration with the passing game not struggling. But when you do it and you do make a cryptic tweet that's now going to follow you all week and into next week, and if he doesn't get the ball at the beginning of the game, that'll be a story. Like, I don't know what else the team is supposed to do. So this is probably an off-season topic. I do not believe he will be traded in season. I think the chances of that are like 3%, right? But in the offseason, you wonder. And I know people hate when we talk about trading AJ. I know Eagles fans hate it. But when he does stuff like this, like I guarantee you the shows tomorrow are going to be talking about it because of this. Like he did this one to himself. He did this one to himself. Like sometimes he talks and I think his words get a little twisted or I think like people, that's not this. He did this one to himself. And so you just wonder if he still wants.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To be here. Like, maybe he wants to just be somewhere else where he's like, I don't know. Like, he wouldn't tell me, but like, and he seems happy enough when I'm around him and I see him in the locker room, but like, I don't think he seems like his normal level of happy, I guess I should say. And so when Nick says enjoy every second of this, I just wonder if AJ's enjoying it. And if he's not, like, I feel bad for him because he's a great player that works hard, that can put up a lot of numbers. But if he's not enjoying it, I don't know if you can have someone on the team that is not having fun. Like, they need a fun culture. This year is going to be a bit of a drag, just in the way that it's not always going to be pretty, and they're going to have to gut their way through some wins. And like we saw in 2023, how ugly it could get. If AJ's not happy, like I want him to go somewhere where he's happy. And when you do things like cryptic tweets after a win, when you get 9 targets and you still don't see happy, like, I can't blame people for speculating you might want traded. I can't blame people nationally for talking about it, because this one he brought on himself. So. We will see. I'm sure next week he'll have 200 yards and 4 touchdowns and everyone will joke about it and it'll be fine. But like, get ready for AJ stuff this week, because he tweeted it and he got this one going. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.